This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Swinging a high drive into center field. It's at the wall. It is gone! Cassis does it again.
Again.
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
All right, we're back. Play Tessie, episode 303. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. You know the drill. We're on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. This is the final episode of the wacky time zones. Like, next episode, we'll all be back. That's going to be so great.
Normal schedule, baby. Never been more excited.
Yeah, it's like I love being on vacation. But I definitely don't miss potting at normal times. So definitely excited to get back into that. But Sammy's here. Pat's here. Gordo here. Pat is going to be up on a Who Says No Friday, which we were talking about before the show. These get a little bit harder as the Red Sox fill roster holes. And they've traded for Sonny Gray. They've traded for Wilson Contreras. That's two of the three big gaps the Red Sox had going into the offseason. Obviously, you could think, oh, maybe they'll do a little bit more than that. Maybe Pat has, I don't know what Pat has on the table. Maybe it's something for, because the Red Sox still do need an infield bat. Maybe it's something in that regard, could be for a pitcher. And maybe he leans into the trade bail rumors. I don't know.
Yeah, but hey, Ryan Jeffers still on the table.
As he always will be, Sammy.
He's good.
He doesn't like hitting against minor leaguers in spring training. Rubbed me the wrong way.
Sorry he did that to you.
Yeah. Ready to get into the Who Says No?
Yes, sir.
Let's hit it.
I am right now poolside in Miami.
Hi, I'm Bo Bichette. This is Who Says No on Play Tessie.
All right. Let's get it over with. So as Gordo kind of mentioned, we were talking before we got on, it gets impossibly harder as the roster gets more full and more full. No matter how good we think the move is, it kind of like chops in the area where they might address via trade off. So that's my like prelude to my trade, I guess. This one's going to be not popular on Twitter. That's just been a theme with me, I think. I'm not even rage baiting. Like I just know when it's not going to be a hit on Twitter. This is one of them. So, if you listened to last episode, I had predicted Freddy Peralta to the Red Sox. Now, how in the world could this happen? What pieces would be going back? He's a rental. What would this even look like? Let me answer that for you, friend. Going to the Red Sox, you get rental on a cheap deal, stud, Freddy Peralta. And 5 years of Brewers, we'll say closer setup man, Abner Uribe. Going to the Brewers. Gordo, you read my mind. It is Brian Bayo and number 8 ranked prospect Dorian Soto. So why do the Sox do this? They do this because it is, unfortunately, a stud pitcher on a cheap deal who I would imagine they would extend. I would imagine he is a guy who wants to extend with the lockout looming. I don't really need to explain why they go for Freddy Peralta. Abner Uribe adds to a loaded back end of the pen. He'd be slotting in with Chapman, Whitlock, Slayton, and then you would have Abner Uribe. He's kind of the closer in waiting as Chapman plays out his contract. 5 years of Abner Uribe. If you don't know how good Abner Uribe is, he's had two of his 3 years in the majors, he's had a sub three ERA. This year, he had, I think, like 2.5, two something ridiculous. So from the Sox perspective, you get your closer in waiting on his rookie deal. You get your number two on a cheap contract who's probably looking to extend a la Crochet last year. On the flip side, why do the Brewers do this? I alluded to it last episode. The Brewers will always trade their rental guys because they will not pay them. Unless they go the Churio route and can lock them up long term for super cheap, they'll trade them. So that aspect of it, I fully believe they will trade Freddy Peralta. I don't know if it's at the deadline. I don't know what it looks like, but I believe they will trade Freddy Peralta. So Brian Bello is enticing to them because I'm a big Jacob Mizrowski fan. I think he takes a step forward this year. They always churn out incredible starting pitching, but they have Woodruff back. They have Mizrowski. Quinn Priester was really good. Chad Patrick had a solid season. They have plenty of options, and then you add Bello into the mix. Bello this year, $6 million this year, then it goes $8 million, $16, $19, and then a club option for $21. So you're locked in for 4 years of Bello. You have the choice of a fifth year for a little bit higher rate. I don't know if they picked that up, but hey, $21 million in 2030? I mean, that could be like $12 million today. So that part of it, I think that's why they do it. They basically trade a rotation piece, get a not as good rotation piece back, obviously, but cost controlled, locked up through 2030. And then they also get a really high upside young prospect, which it feels like in all these deals for starting high-end starting pitching, there's always some kind of like diamond in the rough or someone who's like the secondary tier. Dorian Soto could easily be that. He's been very good since he joined the Red Sox system. I don't think the Brewers would want another arm. Like, you know, I don't think they would trade Tully or Early, obviously, but like a Sandlin or any of those guys. So maybe Soto catches their eye. Maybe it's a Mikey Romero. I don't know. I just threw Soto in. So that is my deal. The Sox get Freddy Peralta, Abney Uribe. Brewers get 4 years, maybe five, of Brian Bello and Dorian Soto. Who says no?
Timmy. Sammy, tell me, what do you think?
Oh, God, you all right?
I like had a frog in my throat. I didn't realize it was there.
That's what happens at 4 a.m.
Jerry!
Yeah, that's like from Sinners. Good reference. Okay, I think that if either side said no, it would be Milwaukee. I think that's a bit too rich for them, giving up Uribe. He is not the type of guy they would trade yet. They would trade him maybe when he has 2 years left of team control. But like you said, he has a lot of control. I think that Milwaukee might be like, why don't we give you Trevor Megill instead? He's also very good. He doesn't have a crazy long track record of success, and we know how volatile relievers are. So I think they're more likely to move someone like him, though I don't think they're going to be in a rush to move him either. But I just think that's a more realistic pitcher that they'd move. And then from the Red Sox end, I think that Franklin Arias is probably super appealing to Milwaukee because he's close-ish to big league ready, and the Milwaukee shortstop situation is not great. That said, they have Jesus really good,
fucking awesome.
Yeah, but he's not super super close to big league ready, you know. So I, you know, hard to tell how Milwaukee feels, but I feel like Soto, huge upside, sure. I think everyone agrees on that, but he's in the low minors, very low minors. We really don't know what he's going to be, and that's a big risk for Milwaukee if they're going to be moving someone like Peralta, their ace of the staff for now. So I think Milwaukee says no, but I think with a few tweaks, a little more value from the Red Sox end and a little less value from Milwaukee's end, I don't think it's that far off.
It's interesting that you went that route because, I mean, I haven't wavered on it. I think Brian Bello was way better than people are giving him credit for. This is a guy who had a 3.35 ERA last year and by all accounts didn't have his best pitch for at least half of the year. And even when he did have it, it was not his best pitch. We're talking about his changeup here. This is a guy who, if you send him to Milwaukee, instantly they will get that fixed. I promise you that. And he will be a front of the rotation starter and they'll have him under control for 5 years, which is why I think the Brewers, if they get a guy like Bello in a trade for a rental for a guy, there's no way they're going to extend. And I understand there's other parts to this trade, but if they can get Bello in this trade, they have to do it. And I think the Red Sox would be crazy to trade 5 years of Bello for a rental. But Pat, you're not the only one that is putting it out there that they want Bayo traded for something of this ilk, or Bayo traded and something of this ilk brought in. Like, it's not a crazy suggestion. And the fact that Sammy's saying the Brewers would say no, I'm saying the Red Sox would say no, shows that. But to me, I think people have criminally underrated Brian Bayo this offseason. I think he has a chance still to be a top two in the rotation starter, more likely a two than a one. But this is a guy who put together a really solid statistical season without having the dominant pitch that we saw help him succeed in his first couple of years in the majors. Like, that changeup was his bread and butter, and he didn't have it last year, and he was still really good. So you just have to think about what can he be if he gets that pitch back, which if the Red Sox, they've got this pitching program that has worked wonders on so many guys. Like, I'm not saying this sarcastically. They've got this pitching program. This is the biggest task they've got, is to figure out Brian Bayo's changeup, because it could be the difference between him being a 3/4 and a number two starter. Like, we keep talking about the Red Sox needing to get a number two starter. That's why Pat has them getting Freddy Peralta. But there is still a chance that your number two starter is in-house with Brian Bayo. So to me, I think the Red Sox should not be trading 5 years of Brian Bayo unless they're getting 3+ years of a really good starter back. Like, even in a Joe Ryan trade, I would be hesitant to include Brian Bayo.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
See, I look at Bayo completely differently than you, Gordo. I feel like that was an extremely generous way to evaluate Bayo. For me, sure, the changeup's been his bread and butter, but what happened to it? I don't think that's a positive. I think that's a negative. If that's your best pitch, then why were you not throwing it? Why did you not have the confidence, or why did the pitching staff make you scrap it? It's just kind of strange. And on top of that, he doesn't do anything really well. Like, he's okay at a lot of things. His best skill would be generating ground balls, which is a skill. But I don't look at him as a guy who could be the number two starter. I think he's a 3 or a 4. And that's not me saying he's bad. He's a very good pitcher. I'm just not super high. I would be shocked if he became anything more than that. And that said, he was very good in 2025. Not trying to take that away from him. 3.35 is nothing to laugh at. I just don't know how high the ceiling is. If he's not striking guys out, he's not generating a ton of swing and miss. His changeup, like we just discussed, is very good. But, like, where is it? Why is it so inconsistent? I don't want to give him credit for succeeding without those things. I'm more so like, where are those things? Why did you not use them? Why are you not trying to, maybe not trying is not the right phrase, but why are you not using that pitch? That's the basically what got you to the big leagues. Where did it go? So, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm down on Bayo. I just think this is kind of sort of who he is. And this is without even mentioning he could be a bit of a head case at times. He has cleaned a lot of that up. We gave him credit for that during the season. He's cleaned a lot of that up. But still, I've spoken about how I felt the day that he was starting against the Yankees. I felt sick all day, just did not feel good about Brian Bayo, and he was a mess. So not to knock the guy, I don't fully agree with the evaluation, though I hope you're right and I'm wrong.
In terms of why he's not throwing the changeup, or why he didn't throw it last year, I think the obvious answer is because it wasn't the same pitch. When he did throw it, it was not the same pitch as it was. We talked about it all season. It's like, why is he throwing this pitch velocity-wise so close to his sinker? He didn't have the pitch last year. And there is something to be said about tweaking with your arsenal and still being able to throw the pitches that do work for you with the pitches you're trying to learn. Because when you change one thing in your arsenal as a pitcher, it impacts the rest. And I think we saw that with Bayo last year. I think the fact that we've seen his changeup be a devastating pitch in the recent past, shows that it can be that, but there's work to do. Like, the Red Sox love to talk about how development doesn't stop at the major league level, and I think there's no greater case of that than Brian Bayo. I agree, Sammy. There's two ways to look at it, because obviously if he's not going to get that changeup back, then it does cap his ceiling because he loses his best swing and miss pitch. Like Brian Bayo, as you said, he should be a ground ball guy. He should focus on keeping the ball on the ground. Don't try to force strikeouts that if it's not your strength. Like, hopefully the Red Sox have a good infield defense behind you, put the ball on the ground, and good things will happen. But you do want to be able to generate swing and miss when you're in two strike counts. And that was one thing he didn't always do well last year. We had that one start against the Rockies where he struck out like, what was it, like 10 guys in the first like four innings or something ridiculous like that. But we didn't see it enough last year. But to me, that's something that can come along if that changeup gets fixed, which I know it sounds like asking for something that we haven't seen, but we have seen it because it was there. So to me, I just think it's like he did one thing well one year, he did another thing well another year, he did another thing well another year. And it's like, put those things together and you've got this awesome, complete pitcher. And I still think Bayo can be that. He's still young. It's not like I'm asking like with the Sonny Gray thing, people are like, oh, his expected stats, oh, his FIP, whatever. It's like you're asking a guy who's 36 to put together a career season with Bayo. How old is Bayo? He is...
He's 26.
26. He's turning 27 in May. Asking that guy to put it together with what he's shown in the recent few years, I don't think that that's crazy, especially when the floor... And maybe he outperformed his metrics, so maybe calling what he did last year the floor is disingenuous. So I won't do that because I feel like that would just be to complete an argument. But we've seen what he can do without his best pitch. Let's see what he can do with it.
So one thing that's interesting with Bayo, looking at 2024 when he did not have, I would say didn't have a, he had a fine year. I won't say he had a bad year. He had a fine year. He had a 4.49 ERA. Pitched 166 innings. His pitch usage in 24 was 40% slider and then 27% sweeper change. And then, 40% sinker, 28% sweeper, 27% change, 5% four seam. So he was very much a three pitch guy, whatever. But the changeup was elite. That's the big thing here. The changeup was elite. Fast forward to 25. This is where it gets a little weird. Sinker was still his most used pitch, 35. He added in a cutter. Once he added in the cutter, he used the sweeper 19%, cutter 16%, change 15%, four seam 15%. So he was a sinker heavy guy with four okay secondary pitches because the changeup was not elite. I wouldn't call his sweeper's good. I wouldn't call it elite. The cutter, fine. It looked a lot like his fastball to me. Change wasn't great. And the four seam's the four seam. So adding in the cutter completely changed his repertoire and it changed his feel for the changeup. So there is a little bit of a roll of the dice there. We know he can throw a changeup, but can he have a 4-5 pitch mix with an elite changeup? We don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a question mark. But to me, if you're going to take a gamble with that guy, I need something more than a rental. And I know Abner Uribe's in the trade. But with Peralta, I know, Pat, you talked about him potentially wanting an extension with the lockout looming. I'm hesitant to assume it. I know the Brewers probably wouldn't even be talking about it because even an extension for him, it would be way out of their range. So maybe we wouldn't even know if he wants an extension, but if you're a guy like Peralta, you're 1 year away from having every team in baseball in on you. And I understand there's a lockout, but it would be tough for me to extend at that point, even though he's shown a willingness to extend in the past. Being at this stage, it's a whole new dynamic. So if you told me he's definitely extending, I would feel a hell of a lot different, but I just don't know if I can assume that. So Sammy, you had Brewers say no. I've got Red Sox say no. Pat, if you leaned one way, which way would you lean?
I think the Brewers would say no. Because Sammy alluded to it. I thought about McGill. The only thing is you're trading 4 or 5 years of Bayo for one guaranteed year of Peralta and two guaranteed years of McGill. So that price for me is a little bit harder to stomach. And so that's why I went Uribe. But if you're the Brewers...
I don't know if you have enough sure things in the rotation and the bullpen to part with both of those guys. So I think the Brewers say no.
God, it would be super interesting if, and not necessarily in a good way, but if the Red Sox rotation, obviously you got Kershaw, he's locked up, but then if your number two and three are Peralta and Sonny, both on expiring deals.
And then rookies.
And then, yeah, and then the fours and the fives, because you don't even have Bale back there, it'd be an interesting year for the rotation, that's for sure.
Tarek Skubal the next year. Boom. Solved.
Nailed it. Extend Peralta, sign Skubal. Big three.
Those are the kind of comments we get on Twitter. Why don't you just trade for Peralta, extend him, and then trade for, or then sign Skubal the next year, and you'd have Crochet, Skubal, and Peralta. Yeah, just do that. Just do it.
Yeah. Pal, I'm not moving totally for Reagans. Why don't we go after Fernando Tatis?
Give me Fernando Tatis.
We're going to, like, for our last episode.
Give me Fernie Tatis.
We didn't include Tatis in there, and as we were coming up with the list, I was like, there can be some people in there. Why didn't they talk about where Tatis is going to go for the fifth offseason in a row?
Also get the Padres fans, man. Padres fans hate me for even suggesting that they would trade Mason Miller, who they've seen pitch 27 innings, for Jaron Duran, who their GM is allegedly in love with. So, yeah, bring him. We love Padres fans. We love the... what's a nice way to say it? The energetic comments. They're great.
Padres fans hate us. Joe?
No, they don't. They love us because the Padres scoreboard put up the thing we did with Roman Anthony.
That's true. We are forever indebted to the Padres organization. But that's not the fans. We just their intern that has to comb through podcasts and stuff to find fun facts. That 19-year-old student, whoever that is, thank you.
Yeah, shout out to that guy. So the Padres staff likes us. The Padres fans hate us. Settle on that.
Mm-hmm. And AJ Preller is somewhere in between.
Oh, yes, last time we did a Who Says No, I didn't name a certain Padres-associated entity, we'll call it, on Twitter. They were involved, so that gave us a little bit of traction there. But yeah, they're incredibly insufferable.
The Padres fans are always going to get involved. I loved it. Last deadline, Sammy and I were talking about LDV. Would they trade LDV for Duran? And they got so offended. And within less than 24 hours, they shipped him and a million other pieces off for a reliever that they didn't even use as a closer. And don't get me wrong, Mason Miller is amazing.
Yeah.
But,
dude,
that was crazy.
I normally don't do this. I'm not really like, oh, I saved the receipts kind of guy. But I saved that one because I got so much hate from Padres fans being like, they would never move LDV for anyone. And I'm like, do you know who the GM of your team is? So I went back. I didn't comment. I just liked a bunch of the tweets to let the people know, like, I remembered.
Oh, sneaky.
I actually got like three or four like apologies from Padres fans being like, all right, yeah, you're right. Terrible trade. I can't believe you did that, but whatever. Congrats.
Hey, that's growth. I love it.
Apologize.
Hell yeah. All right, that's going to do it for episode 303 of Playtesty. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Go follow us on the socials at Playtesty on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. You can tell us what you think of Pat's trade. We'll have the graphic up there as we always do. We'll have the poll. People will tell us what they think. Almost always people hate these trades. So one way or another, Pat, people are not going to like it. But the fact that you got me and Sammy on either side of the boat bodes well for how we'll, because like if there's equal people hating it for both sides, that means you did a good job. You're not going to get a bunch of people liking it. That's not how it works. So good job, Pat. We'll see what the masses have to say. Next episode, we'll be back to normal on one time zone instead of three, which will rock. Very excited to get there. But till then, for Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it is Gordo here for Who Says No edition of Playtesty episode 303. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
The This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.